So my name is Mikhail Kotliar. I'm still a PhD student at University of Freiburg in mathematics. Last year I was living in Belarus, my home country. So I spent last 7 years in Germany, and 1 year ago I returned home for several reasons. I didn't think it will be for a long time, so I was planning to return to Germany after a couple of months, but then all this story with pandemic and everything has changed the plans and so on. I'm at the end of my studies, so basically I'm finishing writing the thesis, and it's like 80% done. I need only finish writing it and submit, and then wait for some time and then go for defense and obtain my degree. I can do it all at home. Of course, it would be good to be among the colleagues, but now it's a bit problematic to enter Germany if you are not permanent German resident and if you don't have a job which requires your physical presence in Germany. And this makes it problematic for me to go to Germany. And the other reason is that I don't have active contract, like employment contract with a German employer. So there are no legal reasons for me to enter Germany.
I would like to talk about the protests. I heard that there are kind of graffitis in, on the streets to support the neighbors. What forms of protests are there?
So the main form of protest is every Sunday, people go marching on one of the main streets of the city. And these marches, they are really big. About 200,000 people participate in those marches every Sunday. And it's really enormous. I hope you have seen the photos and videos from those. So this is the main and the biggest form of protest. The other forms also include strikes, but it seemed to go quite well with the strikes in the very beginning. But then the authorities started putting pressure on the leaders of strike committees, and many of them were put into prison or had to leave the country and so on. So basically the regime is trying to frighten the people and make them not to go on strike. And these attempts, I would say, they have some success. So it's not like everyone is on strike. There are some state-owned big factories which try to go on strike, but it doesn't go quite well. For example, in Soligorsk, the mine workers went on strike in the very beginning, and now the work is technically almost back to normal. The workers, they switched to a so-called Italian strike, where they go to work, but they work strictly obeying all the instructions and rules and everything, which slows down the work as much as it can. So this is the current situation with strikes. So these are the two main forms of protest. But of course, there are smaller forms, as you said, graffiti, and maybe not so much graffiti, but also putting flags, like national, historical, white, red, white flags everywhere, and making those flags in different forms. So for example, you could see buildings, like multi-store buildings. For example, the building has 9 stores, and like first 3 stores, you see the lights are all white, and then the next 3 stores, the lights are all red, and the top next floors, the lights are still white again. And then the entire building looks like a flag. It's a type of flag which is not easy to remove, right? Because like if you go to someone's place, like living room in this flat, and they say, okay, so you are part of a flag, like what should I do? Should I switch off the light or change the color of the light in my room, right? If you consider like individual, people try to make this form of activities where individually they seem to be not doing anything special, but collectively it forms some symbol or sends some message. So maybe you heard this story with graffiti. So there is one famous place in Minsk where they made a graffiti of these two guys. People call them DJs of changes. Yeah, so DJs like disc jockeys, because they were actually disc jockeys. Do you know this story? August 6th or so, like a few days before the election, it was supposed to be a meeting of this joint group or committee of the three candidates, right? Like Tikhanovskaya, Tsapkala and Babariko, right? Basically, it was supposed to be a meeting of Tikhanovskaya with her voters. At the last moment, they prohibited this meeting at the place where it was planned. So it was a meeting which was not supposed to be related to elections at all. But the candidate Tikhanovskaya and her supporters, many of her supporters, went to this meeting because they could not gather at the place where they were supposed to gather. The authorities didn't allow them. So they went to a different meeting organized by the state. And at this meeting was music. There were two guys, two DJs, who were playing back the music. At some point, a singer was supposed to come to a stage and sing a song in support of Lukashenko, okay, like the current president, like special glory to Lukashenko song, so to speak. And what these two guys did, instead of starting the music for this song, they started a different song. Already at this point, this song was recognized as a symbol of people wanting the change. So the song itself is an old Russian song, and it's called Perimen. And the name of the song is Changes, and the meaning of the song is like, we want changes. And people already before were using this song as a message. So this song has become a symbol of the protest, because the text of the song is in line with what people want to say or express, okay? And therefore, you can often hear this song from open windows, from the cars, and so on, right? Like, if people want to label themselves as supporting change, okay, they play this song in the car or in their room, such that everyone else can hear this song, okay? So it's like raising a flag. You can raise a flag or you can play this song to mark yourself as the one who wants change. So basically, these two guys, instead of starting the phonogram for this Lukashenko singer, they started playing this song, the song of changes. The people who were at the meeting, tens of thousands of people, they started screaming, shouting, and applauding to them. They all knew what this song means. So this message was clear to everyone and they expressed their support. This song played for maybe half a minute, but then of course the organizers of this pro-government meeting, they recognized what happened. So, and they went and switched off the music, and these two guys who started this music, they were caught by the police, and then they spent like several days in prison, 10 or 15 days. But it was, from their side, very expressive move, what they did. And this story has become known to everyone. At the same day, the photo of these two guys raising their hands, like showing the sign, the signs like white bracelets on their hands, for example, or the signs of raising the hand and showing victory or showing the fist, right? These signs have become recognizable. When these two guys raise their hands, one shows victory sign and the other shows just the fist, and they both wear white bands on their hands. These all are already symbols which can be recognized by everyone. Therefore, this gesture has become a meme, right? So this photo of these two guys with their hands rising up, and they made graffiti out of this photo on a transformator booth in one of the yards. And then the next story has started. Every day the authorities were sending people to remove these graffiti. And every day, the people who live in this yard, they were restoring the graffiti. Sometimes it happened even several times per day. Sometimes it was even like, okay, there is one guy with a brush painting the graffiti over, and there are already other guys staying around, ready to restore the graffiti immediately after he goes away. And they talk to each other. It's funny to see all this happening and hear their dialogues and so on. It's really surreal. And it has been going already for several weeks, every day. Then after some point, they started sending militia there to prevent the people from restoring the graffiti. And it ended up 7 militia men surrounding this transformator booth with graffiti just to not let anyone to restore it. And it's surreal because they are standing there day and night, 7 people guarding this wall just to not let anyone to restore the graffiti. You can see how this graffiti is changing every time, right? So they paint it over and the people put the new one on top, okay? At some point they painted it not with the paint, but with this sticky black goo that they use to cover, for example, roofs and stuff like that. And then people put the image on top of that. And then the other guys come and they scratch it with tools. And then you see this scratchy surface with the silhouette of the two DJs. It has become like a piece of art which is constantly changing. Two sides are contributing to this art. They think that they are destroying the art, but actually they have become co-authors of this art. They already started arresting people who were protecting this graffiti. So they are putting more and more pressure to stop it, but it doesn't work. It was just one example, but it's going everywhere in different forms, like these hidden or creative forms of non-violent protest. Whatever people can invent, they try to do it.
Are there other protagonists of the protests that are like celebrities, like those two?
Celebrities. Yes, there are many. After the elections and after the first few days of protest, when the most of the violence took place, even some of the people who worked on the state television and who did all this propaganda before, even some of them said, no, that's already too much. And they openly expressed their views and their position, and they left the state television. And it was like tens of people who left the state television. And what Lukashenko did, he invited propagandists from Russia. They replaced those people from the television who left, basically. So now we have TV who tell the news, yeah, right, and guide the TV shows and so on. Yeah. They are now from Russia. So Russian gastarbeiters working on Belarusian television, because Belarusians, even those who did propaganda before, many of them don't want to do it anymore. And also the celebrities, some of famous opera singers, sportsmen, many sportsmen have signed resolution that they are against the violence. They require to stop violence. They require new fair elections, and they don't recognize Lukashenko as a legitimate president of the country. This includes not only sportsmen, scientists, doctors, university students. So many social groups have signed such declarations. They don't address the authorities because you cannot complain the authorities about themselves. So basically, it's almost the entire society who understands the situation and wants the same. So stop the violence, Lukashenko go away, and new fair election. The problem is that many, but not everyone, is ready to actively do something. Even not everyone is ready to strike. And the other thing is that the smaller part of the society, those who support the regime, are exclusively the militia, partially the army, the judges, and those who work in penitentiary system, and government officials, local government officials, and so on. So they are all subjugated to so-called presidential vertical, right? So it's like hierarchy, where on top is the president, and whatever he says, everyone in this hierarchy does this. So there is no democracy. There is like an army, hierarchical subjugation. Yeah, it's dictatorship and it's the way it works. The people on the lowest level of the hierarchy, they cannot go against for two reasons. First, because they have been selected for their roles in such a way that their personalities don't allow them to go against the boss, so to speak, or the authority. Or many of them do believe in the propaganda thing. Even they understand the real situation, they cannot go against the system because they understand that when the system falls, then they go to court and many of them will go to prison. And therefore, they will support this system until the very end. But this is the minority. And the problem is that this minority has monopoly on violence.
You know people who got arrested and intimidated personally?
I myself was detained and I spent 3 days in prison. They caught me on 12th of August. I was lucky because these were the days where most of the violence happened and people were really badly tortured in prisons. I don't know if you heard all these stories, but they are all on internet. I was lucky because I was arrested not in Minsk, but in a smaller town, in my hometown, and they were not as violent there. In fact, I wasn't even beaten. I was only threatened, like participating in prohibited public event. This is the article of Administrative Codex. Most of the people, they are sentenced according to this article. I was also sentenced. You know, according to the law, the courts should be public, like in every other normal country. But they tried not to make them public. In my case, they didn't even bring me to a court, to a building of the court. From the prison, escorted me somewhere, which was in the same building. There was a judge, there was a guard, and there was me. There was also a secretary. Four people. No one knew that this court is taking place. No one knew where exactly I am. There was no lawyer, no one. They started this formal procedure in the court after the judge said what they usually say in the beginning, like what are your rights and what's going on and so on. He's also mentioning, like technically, he should mention it that the court session is public. And I'm telling him, okay, but it is not public. No one knows that I'm here. I could not contact my lawyer. I could not contact my relatives. So I declared protest. I insisted on my right to have a lawyer with me in the court. And they made a break in the court and I was brought back to my cell. And then it happened several times. So basically on the first day, they took me to the court three times and then they postponed it until tomorrow. And tomorrow my lawyer already was there. So in my case, I had a lawyer and also my mother came to the court because she was a witness. She was there before I was arrested. But still, the lawyer and the witness were allowed to the court. And also the lawyer requested the militiaman who detained me to be also present in the court as witnesses. And it also took some time. He asked them questions and there were like four militiamen there. What they were telling was not consistent with each other and what they wrote in their report. And the lawyer was pointing all these inconsistencies. According to the law, if it would be a normal court, then I would have been released immediately because there was no guilt. I didn't break any law. At the end, the judge had already prepared the paper with the sentence and he just took it and said, okay, 10 days in prison. That was it. So he didn't even make it during the court. He had it pre-made. So I went to my cell and I was ready to spend there my 10 days, but on the next day, I was released. They took me from the cell. They brought me to the chief of the town police. They made me sign a paper that I have been warned not to participate in prohibited events, which I signed. And that was it. And then they released me. And then only after, when I was home and I started reading internet, I read about what was happening during these 3 days in Minsk. I read about the torture And I understood how lucky I actually was because I wasn't even beaten. That was it. That's my story of detention. It went very well compared to what happened to other people.